Respectfully to what I will be talking, not just today, because I'm not going to get there. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Okay, well, we are going to start then. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, that we can come together. Thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit is with us to minister to us, Lord, to bring us in places of freedom and victory. We know, Lord, that you have done everything that needed to be done. Now is our time. It's our part that we had to play. And Lord, we are willing and will be obedient to listen to your word and to follow your direction and to achieve the purposes that you have for us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so things have changed. Remove this. And the topic as we started last week is the helper. And one of the things that, we saw is how important, to respond to the Holy Spirit and to acquire the understanding and the knowledge that we need to be able to connect with Him in the right way. Is the knowledge that is not just a superficial knowing scriptures, but to actually have a deep understanding of what they mean and how to put them to work in our lives that makes a difference. You know, the word there in Greek is epigiosko, which is means, you know, more than just knowing. And to get to the place in which we start cooperating with the Holy Spirit in the things that He wants to do. What the problem is often in that area is that people's attitude, believers' attitude, has been a bit the opposite of what the Bible says in this. They try to help the Holy Spirit to do what He wants to do. And it's not really what the Bible says it should happen. But the Bible says that it should happen that He is our helper, not we, His helper. And when we understand the implications of that, then it changes completely the way we deal with them. He was given to us so that we can accomplish God's plan on earth, we can continue Jesus' ministry, we can achieve the things they want to do in the world and in our life. But He's our helper. That means He's there to help us when we need Him. And we have to have the faith to believe that He is actually there to help us when we need Him. You know, there is the idea, the concept that we had to be there waiting all the time for Him to do something. And this is really the wrong idea, because He's waiting for us to do something so that He can help us to achieve God's purposes. You see, evidently, it's not anything that we get in our head to do. It's, you know, we have to do and act according to what He has communicated already. And we have it in black and white right in the Bible. He tells us the things that he wants us to do. God is very clear. I mean, it's not a question of different interpretation. There are very clear instruction and commands to things to do. Like, for example, to preach the gospel to all nations. And so this is pretty clear. We don't need to be there waiting for him to tell us what to do. He already told us what to do. What we had to do is to act and expect that he would do what he promised to do. That's what he said to the disciples. Didn't they to wait forever for the Holy Spirit to do something? He said, wait in Jerusalem until it come upon you. After it came upon you, they started doing and he started to act. You see, they didn't wait. Peter, after the Holy Spirit came on him, didn't wait to grow up spiritually like we so often think that we had to do before we act on the Holy Spirit. He was just there. Finished just at the moment when he almost finished getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. And he went out and started preaching under the anointing of the Holy Spirit and converted 3,000 people. Because why? Because he took the initiative to act on what Jesus had told them already to do. If we learn that when we do the things that God has told us to do in the Bible, and expect that the Holy Spirit is going to back us up, then we are going to see it happen. Do I have to repeat that? I mean, I myself faulty in that area. When I started coming in the ministry, I was aware that, I was wanting some revelation, some body just knocking me and say, come on, I want you to do it. And finally he did it, but that wasn't what he wanted to do. That is because I've been taught that. And I accepted those ideas that actually weren't scriptural. See, I remember, this was a supernatural event that took place there, and this guy prophesied to me, and I went there just for that purpose. And it opened my mouth. I didn't know it. It was another city, and it wasn't even. I didn't even get there at the meeting in time because I didn't know where to go. I got lost. Was in Hamilton, a meeting there, and I got lost, and I didn't, it was the first time I was going there. And I had to go out on an exit, and my wife made a mistake there, and so I didn't get out of that exit, and then I was completely lost. And I was going around the city, looking at my watch. It was night, I couldn't see very much around there, and I didn't know where to go. And I was kind of upset, wouldn't you say? I was all the way from Ottawa to there, and then it was late at the meeting, and I wanted to be at that meeting. Well, I got in, and because the meeting, the place was completely full, they got me to sit on the first row. So started well. All right. I didn't say I got there. See, I got to this traffic light and was red, so I had to stop. And I was there feeling really sorry for myself. Oh, I'm going to be late and this thing is still red. And I looked down, on the steering wheel and said, oh my goodness, I wasted my time to come there. And the Lord spoke to me and said, don't look down, look up. I looked up, and there was the meeting there Holiday Inn Hotel. The only thing I had to do is cross the road and go in the parking lot. Finally, I'm not going to go into all the detail, but at the end of the meeting, this guy, I was a prophetic gift, so, you know, was praying for people, and I said, okay, I just was right in front of him, I just went there. And he looked at me, I didn't open my mouth. And I wanted, you know, I went there, just, it's now the time when I have to step out into the ministry. And he looked at me, kind of like that. I said, are you waiting for me? I'm waiting for you. Okay, I got it. So, you know, the thing, what I'm saying, we often wait for things to have the confirmations. God, when we know that what God said in the Word, we don't need any confirmation. You know, just read Matthew 28. Okay? That's all you have to do. Anyway, I just left my message completely. It's always good when that happens. All right, so it must have been a reason there. So what I want to say is that there is a part we play, and that as we get understanding and knowledge about what God wants to do with us, and we can get that directly from the Word, plus the Holy Spirit is always with us, revealing things to us, so we are going to grow into a knowledge. But we had to act on these things, and if you read 2 Peter that we read last week, you know, there is all that list with all diligence, all the different things that we had to do, because it's diligence that makes the difference. Diligence implies obeying the direction that God has given you. You know, you are not diligent waiting for something to happen, for a fleecing to take place. You are diligent when God said, do this, and you do it. And you do it regularly. I said, oh, but that sounds like religion. No, that sounds like obedience. Amen? Yeah. All right, good. So, you know, Peter there in 2 Peter 1:10 says very clearly, you do make your calling election sure. And when you do these things, you will never stumble. Obedience is so important, to be obedient to the Word. Because through that, you know, we are going to develop, grow, become the people that He wants us to be, get spiritual muscle called virtue. And develop the way God wants us to be. But to do that, we have to make a decision and a commitment. You see, that's what makes the difference. You know, we've been talking about children and sons of God and developing in the time, you know, that we are in which God is moving to manifest the sons of God. And as we get there, you know, we can get the funny idea that God is going to do that by Himself. That everything is going to fall on us, you know, like going under the rain. That's not the way it works. You see, you have to respond to His call, respond to His direction, respond to the Word, allow the Word to change the way you think inside so that you start thinking the way God thinks. See, you're not going to be able to be thinking the, you know, you're not going to be manifesting your sonship until you're going to think like God thinks. And the only way to do that is renewing your mind. And renewing your mind doesn't happen overnight. It happens as you apply yourself and you let the Word change the way you see things and what you do. But it changes the way you see things first. You know, The time we are in, as I shared last week, are probably the most exciting times in the history of human race. Because Jesus is coming back. But before Jesus is coming back, he is not going to come back to a dilapidated church. He's going to come back to a church which is powerful and is able to fight and kick the gates of hell broken. Now, that's not going to be the old church, evidently. We can see that. See, the word, nobody believes the word anymore. There's been an attack to the world for the word of God from at least 200 years. Even before. I mean, the enemy always like. But in the last 200 years, there's been so much effort to discredit the Bible that's like nothing else that you can see. And it's been so stupid because all the different things that they try to do, actually they were proven wrong. But nobody talks about what they were wrong. Only they talk about the criticism and the fact that they find, reason to believe differently. And that is, the reason for that is that the only basis we have in our walk with God is the Word. If you take that away, what do you have left? See, this is the thing I really want to stress for the young people, the children especially. They had to establish the basis on the Word that is not going to be removed by the exposing themselves to the thinking of the world. It's not an easy job. Because they are exposed to these attacks of the enemy continuously. So we are going to talk about it maybe a bit next week when we pray for the children. But the idea is that, there is this expectation of the time we are in that has been there since when Jesus came, even before. And Paul mentioned it very well in Romans chapter 8, verse 19, it was that the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. But doesn't stop there. The interesting part is later on it says, for we know that the whole creation groans in labors on the first pang, with birth pang together until now. We know, the thing is they said there, we know, is not just a mental knowledge. The word there in Greek is eido, which actually means we see. You see, there is never in the history of human race the thing has been so evident that the time is ripe. So if they knew it then when that was written, now we know it even much better because the fig is ripe, it's going to ready to fall. And we had to understand that there is not much time left. That means if we don't respond now, we are now not going to be ready for that manifestation. And this is really what God has planned from the beginning. Praise the Lord. You see, God needs a body. Here, the body of Christ, to achieve the purposes that he has. And you say, okay, well, I know I'm going to get into it. You see, there are many things that are going to be evident as that take place. That you are going to know even for yourself in terms of the way you experience life that is going to change. See, one of the things that said just in the following verse, that we also have the first fruit of the Spirit, which is, you know, your Spirit filled. So, you know, do we that who are the first fruit of the Spirit, okay? It, you know, the fact is, how much of the fruit of the Spirit do we have? How strong, how, you see, the gift of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, all that part there that comes with from the Holy Spirit operating in us, it just doesn't happen spontaneously. It happens by us knowing, number one, because if you don't know you can get the gifts, it's very unlikely you're going to get them. But also exercising your faith to demonstrate them, to activate them within yourself. You see, Paul talks about, you know, according to the faith given to you, that you are going to demonstrate your gifts. And I've been trying to, you know, convey that, and it's starting to work here. The idea is unless you are willing to step out, if you wait the Holy Spirit to do something, He's not going to do it. If you step out in faith to the prompting that you have inside, He's going to back you up. If you don't start to speak, you never speak in tongues. If you don't speak out, you never prophesy. If you don't take the chances, you are never ever going to pray for somebody else to be healed. Because, oh, well, that doesn't happen. It's not in your business. But if you do it in faith, it's going to work. Okay? But, you see, that's the ministry part. But there is also a benefit for ourselves. Because every time that you do something that pleases God, God is pleased, and the only way to do that is by faith. Every time that you take a step of faith, you're going to be blessed in many ways. That's the way God is going to bless you. That's what means that, you know, you're pleasing God by faith. Okay? But it says there that this is, you know, let's read that again. Not only that, but we also have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves, grown within ourselves. I mean, there is really the feeling that that's what has to happen. Okay? Earnestly waiting for the adoption, and then says, the redemption of our body. I mean, you know, the redemption of your body is not the resurrected body. The resurrected body, as explained last week, is not redeemed. It's recreated. Redemption means, you know, that there is something there and is set free from the bondage that has been there before. So the redemption of the body means that you are going to be able to operate the way Adam operated before falling. See, that's the manifestation from your point of view. Your point of view. Now you're going to have effect on others. But you see, it starts from inside you. It starts from your own experience. You know, you start living in victory in the areas of your life. For example, overcoming sickness and disease for yourself. You see, up to now, most of the people that had healing ministries or stuff like that, they were doing it out of the anointing of the gifts. This is not the best, and the way that is going to be at the end. It's going to be the way Jesus did it. He was not operating on the gift. He was operating on His authority. He went around doing good and healing everybody. Oppressed by the devil, because God was with him because he was full with the Holy Spirit. See, that's what's going to happen to the sons, because this is nothing else than a repetition. You see, this is the brothers becoming like the first brother, the first son, firstborn, the name of our church. Okay? I didn't know that when I got the name of the church. But I believe that that's connected. But you see, that requires to step out in faith, to act on the word of God. Because our faith is always, always, always going to be tested. It's just the enemy doesn't like to give up. It doesn't like to give up territory, but we take it step by step. And we overcome. But you have to start overcoming in your own life, because this is where you develop to the place where you can be a son. Otherwise, you are a child. And a child is like, has to be told what to do. A son knows the father's business and go around doing it. Are you following me? So, taking the place. Oh, no, I'm reading another scripture, yeah. You know, the idea is that many Christians are still so self-centered. You know, in Jesus, one of the first things he said, you know, you have to die to self. And that sounds so negative. Instead, it's not negative at all. That's the best thing can happen to you. Because then you can start thinking straight. Okay? And you can start cooperating with God. You know, in Matthew chapter 8, 10, verse 44 says, "And whoever desires to be first, he shall be the slave of all." You see, often we get excited about when we talk about sons and stuff like that, because, oh, you know, feels that the importance of the ego is magnified. This is not a question of ego. Your ego had to die. If you really want to develop, your ego had to go under. 6 feet. I'm serious. Because otherwise it's going to hinder your ability to be able to do the things that God calls you to do. I mean, if your ego operates, when you have to make a decision and you have to take a step out in faith, you say, well, if it doesn't work, I look like a fool. Go right ahead. You see, you have to kill it. Kill your ego. By decision. Because it's going to take you in the wrong direction. Okay. "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life in ransom for many." And that we had to, that's the attitude that has to develop in us before we can demonstrate sonship. This was Jesus' attitude. This is going to be our attitude when we are starting to respond to God's call and election in our life. You see, it's not optional for believers to develop that way. This is what every believer is called to become. And when is there going to be the right time, the true believers are going to be moving in that direction. Because it's the only thing that they can do. So we had to take place, our place as son. And in John chapter 1, verse 12, says, "For as many as received him, to them he gave them the right." And the word there is exousia, which actually means the ability, the authority, the choice even, to become children of God. And really, you know, the children there, what the word is technon, which actually means, you know, a descendant. You know, they're the same as your father. You can go and relate to him as your father. To those who believe in his name. Hallelujah. You know, name was so important in the Old Testament. We cannot, you know, we're talking about, we pray in the name of Jesus and it becomes a formula. The name indicated the person, indicated the characteristics, the life, the everything that, you know, if you, well, you know, when you changed, your name would change. You remember? Okay, the idea is your name indicates who you are. And the name of Jesus indicated who he is. He's the Savior. Okay, he's the one that came to set people free. So when you say in the name of Jesus, you actually say in the name of the Savior with all the what goes with the name, which is actually his authority and his power. It's like, you know, in the name of the government, you know, a policeman come and take you into jail. Okay? It's in the name. When you say in the name of Jesus, you go with the same authority. See, that's what he said. Go into all world, you know, I have all authority and power is given unto me. Then you go. You go what? You know, Mr. X go there and say, no, it's in Jesus' name. I bring you Jesus' message. I'm Jesus' representative. I'm Jesus' ambassador. God's ambassador. So you go there as a representative, not on your own authority and power, but his authority and power. And so he's asked to back you up. And that's what it says there in the Great Commission. And I'll be with you. And he's not just there so that he looks at you and says, okay, that's good. No, it's the Holy Spirit. That's why he gave the Holy Spirit. That's why he's going to be with us. Because the Holy Spirit is with us to achieve what he wants us to do. Because we cannot do it in our flesh and in our mind. The only way we can do it is through our spirit and the Spirit of God inside us that empower us to do the things that we need to do. We cannot save people. We cannot heal people. But God said, Jesus said, you know, go and heal the sick and raise the leper and, you know, raise the dead and whatever. You know, that's the idea there is that you have to do something. Otherwise, it doesn't get done. Praise the Lord. So the idea is, you know, you see, it's not just a question of, okay, you know, we're going to be able to pray for people, they're going to be healed, and they're going to, you know, have power and everything. That's secondary. See, our attitude, our position should be Jesus' attitude and position. We should be operating in such a way that we are not in the way, our mind is not in the way, our limitations are not in the way anymore because God is working through us because that's what he came in us for. He came in us to enable us to do the things that otherwise we cannot do. That's why Jesus said, stay in Jerusalem until you got it. If you are born again and spirit filled, I tell you, you got it. But you had to kill the other part. Okay, you have to learn that. And it's going to take a bit of time. So you have to start exercising your faith. Take the steps that are required to move on. Get rid of the junk that was there from the past. And move on to what God has for you. Hallelujah. See, there is not, you know, factors that generally people look at are just the physical factor, like, you know, education, race, age, social status, gender, all this stuff, forget about it. This is flesh. We are all the same. God will work through anybody. And he chose to work through us. I may have not done that choice, but that's okay. I'm part of it. Okay. But the idea, when we start to understand that, we start to get motivated to take the steps that we need to take, because this is God's plan. You see, this is when we make our call and election sure. This is our call and election. It's not to become pastor or stuff like that. This is part of the development. Doesn't matter what work you do. If you are a Christian, you are in full-time ministry. If you are a true believer. Because I shouldn't say just a Christian, because everybody called themselves a Christian, and the label doesn't make you a Christian. A believer that acts on the Word of God and start allowing the Word of God to change you, empower you, to develop you the way God wants you to be, God has planned for you from the beginning. Not just now. I mean, God has been waiting such a long time until the time is ripe. I'm excited about the time we're in. I don't care about the darkness around. I mean, you know, I don't care about the demons that are around. They are powerless and defeated. The only power they have is the one you gave them. If you believe that, then sure, they push you around. Jesus was never pushed around. If we learn from him, we'll never be pushed around. And we have to learn to be pushed around. That means, you know, you have to take a position, stand, and says, no way! You know, when you take that stand, you see results immediately. May not see the complete change completely, but you are going to start to see the changes are starting to happen. But you need the courage to make decisions and to take a stand and to walk in that. Praise the Lord. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15, it says, and he died for all that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Are you listening to that? You see, that's what a Christian should be. He doesn't live for himself. He lives for him who died for him. The point is when... You know, all the hang-ups, all the fears, all the things, when you start living at that level, are going to fall off. Because they're not that important anymore. You see, there are scriptures that's going to show you that later on. But that's great. You know, praise the Lord. Okay. Let's read some more. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him that way no more. See, so the idea is, you know, you have to start looking at yourself that way. No one includes that you look at the way you are yourself. You don't look at your limitation and your shortcoming and you think you start looking the way God talks about you. What God says that you can do, even if you think you cannot do it at the moment, but you just allow that thought, you start accepting the fact that you can do what God said you can do. Otherwise, you know, you cannot... See, that's where faith comes. Faith comes by hearing the fact that you can do certain things that you think you cannot do it, so that you start having belief that you can do it, and you start trying it at least, until you really believe it and you can do it. Has to start someplace. It's not that it falls from the sky. It's just that the word come. You hear the word. You accept the word. You know, say, well, you know, greater things than this shall you do. And say, well, every, you know, hardly every preacher says that you can do that. Well, that's what you get. You start preaching that as a reality, because Jesus said the greater things that I do, you will greater work than I do, you should do, because I go to the Father. So you take what he said and you apply to yourself and say, well, thank you, Lord. I'm going to see that happening. And you start developing your faith, applying the principle to yourself and starting to live it. Acting on the word. If you wait for a special anointing to come upon you, you're going to be waiting for the rest of your life. Besides anointing even the word, the way it's been taught, is wrong. Anointing is not power. Anointing is an appointment. Go and see in the Old Testament. Anyway, that's another topic that we're going to talk another time. See, all right, let me continue here. Therefore, verse 17, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, and who has reconciled himself to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Praise the Lord. I'm skipping a few verses. As for verse 21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we may become the righteousness of God in him. So this is the plan. This is God's intention. This is what's going to, you know, is going to happen as we are starting to respond to what the scriptures say about ourselves. We start to see it is going to start to be manifested in us. Why? How God manifests the thing. You know, God, everything God does, always, the same way for everything. Maybe physical healing, maybe breakthrough spiritually, maybe, you know, change in your emotions and everything else. By faith. You hear it, you see it, you believe it, you take it, and you start accepting it. It's the only way. That's the way you got saved in the first place. Your sins were forgiven if you believed it. Because, you know, some people just go through the motions and just say the sinner's prayer and go around and they just feel as guilty as before. Well, I'm sorry, you didn't get healed. You didn't get saved. Because if you're saved, your sins are forgiven. It's not a formula. It's a spiritual reality that has to happen inside you. If you are saved, you don't go around feeling guilty anymore for the past, because the past, that person there is dead. And you have nothing to do with it. Unless you resuscitate him. I mean, that's a different story. But then, you know, that's your problem. See, because you are looking at the wrong thing instead of looking at the word. Praise the Lord. So that's a starting point. You see, this is a starting point. You are born again. When you are born again, really, all things are of God inside you. Your mind may be still a bit messed up. But that's okay. You see, your spirit is changed. Your mind, you still remember all this junk that you learned before, and so you had to change that. And that's what the renewal of the mind is. You had to change your mind with the word. So that your mind is not anymore your mind, the Christ that you remember from the past, but becomes the mind of Christ, which is actually the Bible. See, that's what you are going to manifest. If your mind is the mind of Christ, What do you think you're going to walk and manifest in your life? You cannot do anything else. It's not that you are trying to be a good person. Trying to do the works does never, you know, to get approved by God never works. Hallelujah. Are you still with me? See, but you see, what I'm telling you is the Holy Spirit is given to us to empower us to manifest what is in our spirit, in our mind, and in our body. So that we start doing, be able to do what Jesus said we can do, or we could do. But we have to participate, be willing, you know. 2 Peter chapter 1, all those four verses up to 12 or 13. And all those things are going to produce the result. You're going to manifest sons. This is scripture I want to close with. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 7. And Paul said there, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Can you get the implications of that? One spirit with him. This is what happens when the Holy Spirit, when you get born again, and when the Holy Spirit comes inside you, and you are joined one spirit with him. That means that your spirit lines up himself with his spirit, and he can do the work that he wants to do inside you, because you are going to be lining up naturally with him. I mean, how can you do the wrong thing when that happens to you? Tell me. It's impossible. Now, I'm not making up this stuff. You know, this is scriptures. He's taking scripture, what they say, and believing in and accepting them, and then it's going to happen. There is no way. That's the way it works. That's why, you know, it may appear that there is so much to do, but the thing is, there is not too much that we have to do except to yield to the Holy Spirit and to yield to the Scriptures, so that the Scripture can become a reality for us. It's not our power. It's not our mind. You see, people that work with their mind, they have real problems trying to do the things that God tells them to do, because they're finding, you know, our mind is messed up. We have to learn to be obedient to our spirit and to understand how the spirit works. And then the Holy Spirit inside us is going to be, you see, we just are the external thing, the body that, or the word that says things. But actually, it's his power that flows out of us that produces the results. We are just the channels of God's power and abilities. See, this is the way even Jesus operated. You remember the woman with the issue of blood? And I'm going to close with that. See, what did Jesus, you know, Jesus didn't even know who was it touched him. The only thing he said he felt virtue, that means power, spiritual power going out of him. And he was wondering, so his mind wasn't there, he wasn't all-knowing, he was operating the way we operate, and when the anointing flows through us, we feel sometimes the anointing going through us and producing the results. Praise the Lord. You see, the sky is the limit. truly, literally. Isn't the Lord exciting? See, and that's why, you know, this couldn't happen before, because there was not the understanding and the revelation about these things. But today is widespread. Anybody that actually, you know, it's not a denominational thing either. It's something that happens, you know, like when in the 70s, you know, there was the Holy Spirit was starting to operate in the gifts in different denominations. Wasn't somebody that did it? It was the Holy Spirit that actually was triggering people and quickening them and bringing them to the place where they could do something. Today, it's a new game. It's the next step up. Do you see that happening? Hallelujah. I don't want to miss it. You know I had lots of friends when I came with that wave there, you know, the 70s. I was born again in the 72, and then got filled with the Holy Spirit right away. And I had lots of friends that got filled with the Holy Spirit at the same time. You know, most of them, I lost them on the way. It's so sad. Because why? Anyway, praise the Lord. We are keep fighting. Okay, let's close in prayer. Praise the Lord. Should we make a confession? All right. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father. For the time we are in, we open ourselves up to your Holy Spirit to work through us, to make us grow, to learn, to operate in your power, your anointing, your abilities to achieve your purposes. Help us to get out of the way, but to be willing to be active and responding to your word, so that it's going to make a difference in our lives. And we thank you and praise you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.